podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's do quick percentages. So chance of Alisson starting twice would be 99, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Van Dijk?
Yeah, so.
Trent? Hello everybody, my name's James. Welcome to a special Friday Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. And it's a big one. It's the Merseyside Derby. Firstly, let me introduce you to our Everton correspondent, Sean Norton. How are you, Sean?
Hi, James. I'm all right. Thanks.
Good man. And our Liverpool correspondent, Dan Lord. How are you, Dan?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, mate.
Good stuff. We will obviously get into FPL assets shortly. Just to timestamp this, it is after the team news on Friday afternoon. It's coming up towards 3 p.m. UK time. So we've pretty much got the information as far as we're aware. I also want to talk about, obviously, the battle at the bottom and the top. But first, I wanted to touch on the rivalry a little bit. Sean, how much do you hate Liverpool?
Oh, I don't hate them.
Is it stronger than that?
No, I just prefer any other football team to them. So they just, I mean, I picked the wrong team, didn't I, really? I went to see Back to the Future the other day. I was down in London. Ironically, instead of watching Everton, which was a good decision. And if I could get back in a time machine and go back, I don't think I'd support Everton. But I wouldn't support Liverpool. I know that.
Just someone else. I love the fact that you were in London. Else. You were in London for a few days, but weren't at Stamford Bridge on Monday night. It was probably a little bit of a touch at the same time.
Yeah, I could have gone as well. I could have got a ticket, and quite reasonably priced as well. But I mean, my daughter was with me, and she's got not much interest in football. But I decided that going to see Back to the Future at the theatre would be a lot more entertaining than watching Everton, and it turned out to be a good decision.
A good decision.
So,
fair enough. Dan, you've been quite strong and open in the past, saying, "Yeah, Everton's not your favourite team." Like, I've asked you in the past and said, "Do you want them to go down?" You'd be like, "Yep."
Yeah. No, mine's a little bit like Sean, and I'm a little bit different because I'm not a Scouser. So I'm not surrounded by it. I've got a lot of mates who are predominantly United around this area, and I don't feel that rivalry. I don't have any close mates who are Everton fans because, like I say, I don't live in Liverpool. Mine always comes from the few Everton fans I do know always have a gripe about Liverpool fans not being from Liverpool. That's what winds me up about Everton fans.
Okay, fair enough. It's obviously a rivalry between the two. I think in your case, Dan, a lot of Liverpool fans have a greater hatred towards Manchester United that makes
Absolutely.
It a bit different.
Yeah, 100%.
But obviously, you are separated by just a park, literally. You can stand in one corner of the park, you quite comfortably see both stadiums, which makes it very unique and the close proximity of the rivalry. But I've also, on the outside, I wanted to ask you both, always felt quite differently about your rivalry to some of the other kind of local derbies, if you will, in the country. And I think we saw an example of that Monday night, actually, Sean, when it was a banner in the away end of a kind of a half Everton, half Liverpool, with the number 97 on it, which is obviously in reference to last weekend being the anniversary of the Hillsborough tragedy. And that gives a uniqueness to the rivalry, doesn't it, Sean? Because of how what happened affected the whole city, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, so many people, were affected by it because, like, my brother supports Liverpool. My dad supported Liverpool. Like, that side of my dad's family, you know, we're all red. So, as much as sort of there's loads of banter and winding each other up, and you can get into some silly debates with Liverpool fans and vice versa and stuff, it was something that deeply affected everybody. So
now I hear you, mate. I hear you, and I think that speaks volumes in itself as well, Dan. Your thoughts on how Everton have often reciprocated
it's like
feeling.
Sean said, you know, I don't feel it the same because I'm not a Scouser, but, you know, the families in Liverpool are split. You've got half a family of Blues, half a Reds, and it's like that all over. It's not unheard of for mum to support Liverpool, dad to support Everton, one of the kids to support Liverpool, one of the kids to support Everton, and so on and so forth. So it's, yeah, of course, it's really close for Everton fans. You know, the Hillsborough disaster, just as it is for Liverpool fans, because of just, yeah, the, just the closeness of it all. And the rivalries, things like that go out the window. The rivalry is more about just bragging rights during the week and things like that. And, you know, it's never as deep as what something like Hillsborough was.
Is there ever any trouble with the fixture? Do either of you know? You never hear reports of it. Of major trouble. I realise the two teams don't like each other, but we've also seen examples of, you know, Everton fans celebrating on the cop when Everton have scored goals, and vice versa with Liverpool at Goodison Park. I realise it doesn't happen quite as much now, but I think it was common practice that perhaps fans of one team went and watched the other when their own team was away back in the day, and a lot of people have held that tradition since. And I think it's been well aware, like if an Everton fan was on the cop, it's like it's known and it's okay. Would that be fair, Dan? Does that still exist?
I wouldn't say it's okay. They'll get some grief, and they'll probably end up getting moved by the police. But in the past, almost definitely, when I went a lot more in the 90s, they used to sit together, same family. You know, they used to sit together in the stadium and things. I mean, Sean will probably have a better take on it from a Goodison point of view. But at Anfield, you wouldn't see it as much these days. But If it happened, they wouldn't get filled in or anything. The police would just move them somewhere else, I suppose.
Same, Sean, does it still happen? Liverpool fans sitting with Everton at Goodison?
Yeah, it does. But like Dan touched on, it does sort of, I think the last sort of 10 years or so, more so with us being pretty horrendous for most of it, and never winning. We just very rarely win derbies, particularly at Goodison. We haven't won for that long. I think there is a lot of like animosity there, and a lot of, you know, ill feeling, and it does sometimes cause some trouble. Not like mass trouble, but like, I mean, I had an issue with my brother-in-law who's a Red. We went to match. I remember going back. I think I was about 20, 21 at the time, and it was commonplace for Reds, you know, to find a way into the Gladys Street and stuff, other areas of the ground. And there was a bit of a, you know, a couple of people in front of us were kicking off at my brother-in-law and his mate. I mean, it never got physical, but there is a lot of times where it does sort of threaten to turn nasty. But like I say, they're like isolated incidents that you could almost get at any match if, you know, even away fan,
yeah, sure,
with home fans. So that's why, like Dan's right, it's you see it, but people tend to get moved on nowadays.
Dan, moving on to what's happening at the top of the table, has your team hit a bit of a wall?
Yeah, I would say there's no denying it, is there, from a performance point of view? You know, crashing out of Europe, well, particularly the first leg at Anfield, and then being turned over by Palace. Prior to that, we were on a decent run, really, although I think I've said it on previous podcasts when I've been on. We've almost flattered a little bit. Although we've got this really good record, we have got fortunate in a lot of games, and it's started to kind of show a little bit now. You know, if you don't bury your chances and you don't defend well enough, you'll get turned over in this league, and that's what Palace did.
It's certainly unusual to see you play two home games in the space of 4 days and not score, as happened in the first leg of the Atalanta game and the Palace game. It is remarkable how fine the margins are at the top of the table, though, that if you'd won against Palace, you'd be top and probably thinking you go and win it from here. But is it flipped the other way as much now? You feel like that's almost feels insurmountable now, even though it's only 2 points.
Yeah, I mean, if we were top, I still wouldn't have thought we'd win it, if I'm honest. I've long said that, you know, you've got to beat City to win this league anytime, and it's proving the case, isn't it? You know, we're in it. We're 2 points behind. You know, anything can happen. I just don't think it will. You know what I mean? Can we win the last six games? Yeah, probably. But will the others drop enough points for it to mean anything? Yeah, probably not. So, you know, we could win it still. We're still in it. Still mathematically, it's only 2 points. It's not like we're falling adrift, but you just can't see the other team slipping up that many times, particularly City. You know, you look at the fixtures and you're thinking, where are they gonna become a cropper really here?
Kind of the problems. I mean, it's been well documented the amount of times you've conceded first in games this year, which is also to your credit the amount of times you've come back and still won games and kept yourself in the race. But does this also date back to the two games at Manchester United a little bit this spell? The psychological losing the cup quarter final, and then I mean, you should have been out of sight at half time in the league game. Feels like a hangover of that psychologically a little bit as well.
But for me personally, yes, I think that the United result was the downfall, really. That even the FA, you know, the FA Cup, that was when I just saw the writing on the wall. Like how, I don't know how just that affected me personally. Maybe because it's United, and maybe it's, you know, all my bragging mates. But at the same time, you know, did it affect the Liverpool players and the squad the same? So I don't know. What you'd think they're more professional than that, but you just don't know what goes on inside, I don't suppose.
Sean, how do you? I was going to say as a neutral, but that would be wrong, wouldn't it? How do you see the title race from here?
It's hard to see City, you know, anyone but City winning it now. I think they're probably likely to win all their games. I still think Liverpool and Arsenal will probably maybe drop at least 2 points, draw a game somewhere. So yeah, my money would be on City now.
Yeah, I mean, they'd obviously be favourites, the position they've got themselves in after last weekend's results. Do you watch City and want them to win, Sean? Because I
Yeah,
do. I'm not going to lie about it. Not because of you, Dan, but because of Arsenal.
obviously you're not gonna want, yeah, at City or Arsenal. I just wanted them both to keep winning, and obviously massively frustrating that Arsenal didn't beat Villa. I'd have felt a lot more comfortable if they'd have won last weekend.
Not frustrating, joyous.
Yeah, for you.
Even though it finished my Champions League hopes at the same time, supposedly. Yeah, lots to do, Dan. It's a bit galling though when you look at it and think, yeah, he could win six games and still not win it, even though you're only 2 points behind. It's mad the standard. We've been over this when you've been on the pod with Johnny before, right? Johnny Pringle. Like the standard at the end is mad, isn't it?
Yeah, they always just pick up, don't they? This time of year, City, they just kick on, don't they? And now they're out of the Champions League, then, you know, they've got obviously got the FA Cup this weekend. But you look at the fixtures and it's, I don't know, is it you? Are Spurs the only team that could potentially cause an upset? That's
But
the only
I've got
team I look at and think possibly could.
there's four away games left for them though. Brighton with a big gap to prepare for it is a challenge. Forest are fighting for their lives ordinarily to go there and win comfortably, but weird shit happens when teams are fighting like that. Fulham have been good at home this weekend. That's going to be a challenge for you on Sunday yourselves, Dan. Then yes, my team. But the amount of challenge my team offers might also depend on how well Arsenal do between now and in between, I'd suggest. The home games against Wolves and West Ham, you'd obviously expect them to win. On paper, yeah, you look at it and you think it's 18 points, but I bet it's not.
They don't usually get complacent, do they, though, City? You know, if they do slip up, it will be against like a top six team. It's not like Liverpool will go and lose to, you know, Burnley or something like that. You never see City doing anything like that. You know, they'll drop points to big teams, but not necessarily to teams you expect them to win. They generally do.
I mean, with you and Arsenal both getting beat last Sunday, I agree with that. You wouldn't have expected City to have a result like that.
Maybe
No.
against Villa you would, but not against
Yeah,
Palace.
maybe.
Never, they would never slip up to Palace in a million years.
But they
Say
played
that.
Villa.
I mean, they have done in the past, obviously, but
They played Villa a couple of weeks ago and won 4-1, right? So, yeah, difference. Sean, how are you feeling about what's happening at the bottom? I know there's been a nervousness all season long, quite understandably. And most people keep saying, I think you'd be all right. I think you'd be all right. But there's concern, isn't there?
absolutely. I mean, it happens. It's happened all too often now. And I just think if you're down there year in, year out, eventually you're gonna go. You're gonna run out of luck, or you know, your fortune's gonna catch up with you. Your good fortune in previous years. I mean, you know, we squeaked through against Palace, didn't we, that year? It was the second to last game of the season, but we were never gonna get anything away at Arsenal. So we had to beat Palace when we come back from two down, and then obviously Bournemouth we needed to beat. and we just about got past it. And I just think it's like building to another one of those sort of fixtures. I can well see Luton winning a couple of games. I think they'll smell survival more than ever now with our second points deduction. The fact that they've got to play us, you know, and that I just don't see us going to Luton and beating them. I think there's every chance that we'll lose that game, and then, you know, it's all to play for. So it doesn't help that we're on a stinking run. I remember the last pod I done was against Tottenham, and things were looking like, you know, we wouldn't have to worry about going down, and we'd be quite comfortable. But then we've only won one game in the last 15. A lot of draws in there. I think there's about 7 draws in there. But you've got to win games in this league. You just have to. I mean, I remember distinctly remember Liverpool, you know, not being in title races, not because they lose football matches, but because they drew too many games in recent seasons. So draws are killers, even at the bottom. So this next week is crucial, because there's not that many games left. We've got 3 home games in a week. I think we're going to have to get at least 4 points. If we'd get any less than 4,
you say that though. But the first game is Forest, right? You're a point clear of them, and admittedly, it's murky because you've both got appeals going on against points deductions. But if you beat Forest, you go 4 points clear of them, and then Forest play City next. And from judging from what we've all said, we'd expect City to go to Forest and win. And in the meantime, you've then got the extra fixture, Sean, against Liverpool and then Brentford. Even if they went wrong, you're still in a position where you're like 4 points clear of Forest then, with 3 to play.
Yeah, gotta be Forest though. And I'm not confident about Everton winning any game of football in this league. Certainly wasn't against Burnley. And we were poor. They're a really, really poor football team. So unbelievably limited. It genuinely, I've said that, sadly, I've said this each season. This is the third season on the run, and I'll say it. It's the worst Everton team I've ever watched. There is just no quality in the football whatsoever. There were times against Burnley, it was just painful. It was like watching a team that were like 3 divisions below in a cup game. It's really, really poor. The manager's make it. He's entered that period in his Everton tenure where he does just like strange things. And I've seen it with Lampard, seen it with Benitez. I feel like I've seen it with every Everton manager we've had over the years. They just start doing baffling stuff, and all of a sudden, Jack Harrison isn't good enough, and he's playing Ashley Young on the right with Seamus Coleman behind him. It's like, must be the oldest combination ever on a right-hand side in the Premier League. Combined age of about 100. It's baffling. Some of the stuff. He seems to have personal issues with players. There was the whole issue with Patterson when he went away a few weeks ago, that he like jokingly slapped him on the head. Patterson didn't like it. A lot of the other players didn't like it. And you just get this vibe that they're not all pulling in the same direction anymore. I wasn't surprised Chelsea battered us. I think that's been coming for a while.
I think Chelsea fans possibly were, considering their inconsistencies. Yeah, I mean, that's going to... After the Burnley win, you think, okay, edging clear. But that result and the manner of it is obviously particularly alarming. It did lead to a few people to suggest that there should be a change of manager. Do you subscribe to that opinion? Because now would be... I mean, my point was, imagine you change and then you still go down. It's like...
Ordinarily, you wouldn't be. But I just think the run that he's on... Because the problem you've got with Everton is you've got the financial side of things that's like the most important thing now, for obvious reasons. And so, ordinarily, everyone would want him sacked. You can't go... You can't sort of not win a game for 13, 14 games in the Premier League. It doesn't matter who you are, any team now in this league, that manager is gonna be, under heavy fire from the fans, and it's all likely you're gonna get the sack. I mean, I'd love to know what the stats are, but I can't imagine there's too many managers survived not winning 14 games. So that alone, if he didn't beat Ben, the majority of people would have wanted him out, whilst still understanding that it's almost a poison chalice and an impossible job
Well,
being a
yeah. I
manager.
mean, the other flip of it is obviously you've been deducted 8 points now. If you had them back, you'd be 14th and looking at a 10-point gap over Luton, and you would be safe. And I realise we've discussed this before. 14th is obviously not Everton fans' ambition. I get that, but it's also acceptable under the restrictions that you've been working under at the moment. So how bad is it at that juncture?
Well, exactly. But he still would. The thing with Everton fans is like, obviously you've got, Dan's team are miles better than Everton, and we're light years behind them, and so the rivalry thing, it's only really exists because, like, you've just done, you made up a, Villa beat Arsenal. But it's not as if Tottenham are, trying to win the league. It's like you get sort of you get a bit of joy because it's like, well, we're shit. So if they don't win anything, great. Makes me feel a little bit better about stuff. But fundamentally, my team's still absolutely crap. It doesn't matter whether Liverpool win anything or not. It just stops you getting pelters off the fans. And like Dan mentioned, I'm from the area, so I've got to go to work with a lot of Liverpool fans and stuff, and you just gotta. I just don't even get involved. It's not worth it. It's not like you can fight back with anything. We haven't even won a derby at home since 2010. It's just it's depressing. It really is. So the derby aspect of it kind of been diluted because we're going into a game against our rivals, but you just feel like I feel like. There's no way we'll win the game. It's just a case of whether Liverpool are bad enough on the day and we play well enough to maybe nick a point. And that's, that just sucks the whole derby like life out of it. Go to a game feeling like you can't beat your rivals. And it's been like that. Been like that for a
No,
long
I get you. And I've been now, I've had a 10-year stretch where we didn't beat Arsenal and stuff as well. So I know how that works. And going back to a point when we were, right down the bottom near where you are, and Arsenal were even more up there than they are now, if you will. They'd won, what, 3 titles in 7 years or so. The reality is, though, Sean, if you beat Forest and Brentford and get beat in the Merseyside derby, that's a good week.
Oh, it would be, yeah. I'd rip your hand off for 6 points of the next nine, however they come. Obviously, if I could choose, I'd beat Liverpool and lose to someone else.
It'd be lose to Brentford under the circumstance, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So
But
if you beat Forest and Liverpool, the reality is, if you beat Forest and beat Liverpool, you're on but 33 points. That's it. You'll be safe, mate.
yeah, but this I mean, you can never, never say never in this league, but. I just don't see. I wouldn't put much money in Everton winning another two games of football this season. Really, really wouldn't. I feel like we might beat somebody, and maybe pick up a couple of draws. But I don't see many points there for us. This team is bad, and it's not playing as a team. I honestly think like there's several players there that have stopped playing for this manager.
Dan, do you think they're
Yeah, I think they will. I think they'll just have that little bit too much for, Saturday's a or Sunday. I'm not sure what day they play.
Sunday?
This weekend's a massive game, isn't it? It's a six. What do they call a six pointer? If they get all 3 points against Forest, I think they've nothing to worry about.
Yeah, the big two, Sean, is obviously the Forest game Sunday in terms of your position in the league. And then obviously we'll speak to you again prior to the visit at Luton in a couple of weeks as well, because that's massive. Reality is, if you beat Forest and you beat Luton, you won't need anything in any other game. But then if you lose them two, then obviously alarm bells ringing, no
Yeah.
doubt about it. Let's talk a little bit of FPL then. Dan, coming in straight to it. I'm on three hit. Which three Liverpool am I going for, mate?
Not easy, is it?
No. It's really not. In fact,
It's not like anyone's informed to say, go with this one, go with that one. There's no one informed.
let's take a step back from that then first. Let's talk about Mo. It's going to be most people's captain this week. I know a few will go Saka, a few will go Eze, but I think majority are going to go with Mo. That's myself included. Despite the fact my eyes are telling me there's reason for concern here, is there?
I don't think he's playing well at all. He's one of the players who's well out of form. Because it's a free hit, you can have a free hit, can't you? You know, and give it a whirl. I think if anyone's kind of buying for this weekend, I'd avoid against it, really.
Wow. So if someone said to you, I want to take -4 to flip Haaland to Salah as an example.
I'd say, well, yeah. I'd say no, maybe not Haaland. He's just as bad at the moment, isn't he? So, but yeah, I knew you were obviously going to ask me this, and it's been racking my brains, and I couldn't tell you. I'm probably going to go free hit as well, and I've already got Nunez and Salah. There's a good chance I'll lose Nunez on the free hit and not even keep him. I'm more inclined to maybe have a punt on Trent. Hopefully he gets at least 90 in one of them, or at least one start, and maybe Diaz and Salah. Salah's more of the FOMO than anything else. It's just that you know what he can do, and you know it'll be, you know, sod's law to leave him out, and then he'll just go, you know, get three goals over the two games or something like that, and it'll be like, well, duh, of course Salah's going to score. So it's probably Salah. For me, it'll be Salah, Diaz, and probably Trent. But Jota's not completely off the menu, I don't suppose, if he, you know, he didn't get many minutes last night. I don't know. I mean, there's only really, I would say, McAllister playing well at the moment in that team. So,
But
but
he's not the one. He's
he's
not the
not going
one
to
you
get
want to
the only
go for, is
points.
he?
No, he's not going to get. Now he's not on penalties. So it's tricky. You can't see any clean sheets, so you'd avoid doubling up at, you know, at the very, you
Well,
know.
I decided last night that that's what I was going to do, and it's ironic. It might not make sense, but it does to me. Matthias Cunha being ruled out is potentially changing that for me, whereas it because I want an extra offensive player now. And then I think, well, it's Liverpool, isn't it? Is where I want to go for the extra offensive player under that circumstance. Just want to bring Sean in. You're going to captain Salah this week, aren't you?
Yeah,
I
I
would have been really surprised if you didn't say you was.
am. Yeah. I am.
Yeah, I thought as much. It almost feels a bit too risky not to, right, Dan? He's on pens. Even like last night, it's like, okay, he's not played well again. What would that have been in FPL? 8, 9, 10 pointer, maybe. It's enough,
That's
isn't
the
it?
thing, isn't it? And you know what Salah can be. He's been way off it, but on the flip side, you can say, well, he's probably due a good game. So, and a goal. I think you'd be mad to go without him if you're on free hit just because of the potential. But he's not playing well. And if he came out with 4 points on the back of this double, it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever.
John, are you on free hit this week or not?
No, I used mine to get about 10 points a few weeks ago
Okay,
with everyone else.
you can blame Tottenham for that if you want. That would be pretty fair, actually. What Liverpool do you own, Sean?
So I'm just having a look now. I've got Salah, Darwin, and I have Bradley. So obviously he's injured, so he'll go. I was toying around with moving Son to Eze and getting Trent Alexander-Arnold in for Bradley, but I seem to have yellow flags galore at the minute.
You won't be alone, mate.
So I have to be bench boost gone. That'll have to wait till 37, no offense.
All right, Dan, I want to bring this conversation back then, specifically for free hitters this week on Van Dijk versus Trent. Money's not an option, an issue here for those on free hit. Van Dijk feels like the definite for me, but I'm looking at it and I'm knowing most people like Sean have got to re-network something to think about putting him in. Where would you go? I get the impression you'd lean for Trent, even
Yeah,
though
I think I'll
I
probably go
guess Van
Trent.
Dijk is more assured on the minutes, isn't he?
Van Dijk will start both games. I'm almost definite of that, unless he gets injured. Whereas I can't confidently say that Trent will. He probably start one and maybe two of them, but he's not going to finish them. I think Klopp even said yesterday, just nothing left in the tank yesterday. That's why he took him off. Yeah, I think if you're on a free hit, then you've got potential to use them extra funds to get Trent, whereas other people might not have enough to get to Trent, so then would go to Van Dijk because they don't have enough. So on that way of thinking, yes, you could have one over your rivals, I suppose. I'll go Trent because I'm on free hit. I think Robertson and Konate will probably only play one of the two games, whereas Trent may play both, but at least one. Alisson will play both, and I'm guessing Virgil will as well.
On Trent, Klopp said after the game, the second leg against Atalanta, he said, "It was insane that he even played." That's the exact quote that he said. So what we now going to expect, that he's going to play Fulham Sunday after 70 minutes last night, Everton Wednesday, and then West Ham is Saturday lunchtime, confirmed now in game week 35. But Trent's not starting all three of them games, is he? We might get lucky and he starts Fulham and Everton and then doesn't start West Ham. He's not starting all three, is he, surely?
No, I think he'll start at the very most two of the three, but it won't be consecutive. So he'll either start Sunday or against Everton, more likely against Everton, maybe. But he'll get minutes. Klopp's given 30 minutes. Most of the subs are around 60, 65 minutes. And with most matches being like 95 to 99 minutes these days, it's half an hour, isn't it? So, yeah, I think he'll get minutes in both games of the double, and he'll get minutes in full in the game against West Ham, even if it's from the bench again.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying he won't participate at all in any of them, but in like Sean's case where he's thinking of buying, like there's a game in there definitely that he's not starting somewhere. Like Sean could get the double this week, he'd be great, and he's going to be looking at West Ham thinking, oh, I don't know if he plays this one, and you don't want to bench a player like that, do you? Because of the potential offensive output, although subject to what else you've got, Sean, because of the Chelsea double and Tottenham's brilliant double in which they'll do nothing in, you may want to bench him in that particular game week. It's a tough one. I mean, when you look at it,
Bradley being out as well, James, I think he's got more chance. And
yeah, but Gomez can play there, can't he? It's not like Shimikas can't cover for
Robertson. Gomez is going to play one game at left back. I don't see, Klopp doesn't really fancy Shimikas, I don't think. And it wouldn't surprise me if Shimikas didn't start any of the next two, and Gomez played one of the games at left back, and then moved across to right back after Trent had done his 60 minutes or so. Because he also alluded to, did Klopp, about getting these players back who he has got back, but also getting a bit of fitness in them for the last game, the last six games of the season, because at the moment that's what they need is minutes, and it's the only way they're going to get fitter and stronger.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's do quick percentages. So chance of Alisson starting twice would be 99, basically, yeah. Van Dijk?
Yeah, so.
Trent?
70-ish.
Diaz?
Same.
Salah? Say that again, Dan. We lost you for a second.
He'll start both, I would say. Yeah.
You think even though he played a significant amount last night?
Well, he played 60 odd minutes, didn't he? He took him off probably with one eye on the weekend.
Okay, Jota.
I think he'll start one and bench one probably.
And Nunes.
Same, start one, bench one.
Okay. So, unless you want to go with Alisson, based on what you said, the three is Trent, Van Dijk, Salah. If that's what you're worried about most. From a minutes perspective, but then that leads you into the double. The chances are, if you pick two Liverpool offensive, you're not going to get four starts across the two. I think it would be fair to say, most likely. You agree with that?
Yeah, almost definitely.
If you go Salah and Diaz and they both start twice, you've been fortunate, I think.
Yeah, you've had a result. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You've got to think Jota's going to start one, Gakpo can start one, Nunes is obviously going to start one. I just can't foresee Salah and Diaz both starting twice. From my own perspective, and I think that goes for the other Liverpool offensive. You said, Dan, about taking Nunes out. Is he that off it at the moment?
Yeah, he's just... I mean, he's never been on it, has he? Let's face it. He's just...
been on something.
Yeah. He's, it just devoured confidence. There was I'm led to believe even before he signed for Liverpool that he was a real confidence player. I'd read some journalists, some Uruguayan journalists, some Portuguese journalists, you know, saying that, you know, he really is a confidence player, and if his confidence isn't up, if he's not scoring goals, he goes missing. And I think he offered nothing when he came on last night. You know, he was poor at the weekend as well. He's not even missing five or six chances a game anymore, which is
Yeah, that feels like a change over the last few, that it's not even missing them.
yeah.
They're not coming to him.
No, he's way off it. And I don't want to be disrespectful or anything, but I think he's a bit thick, if I'm honest. I think he doesn't he's not an intelligent footballer, like a Jota. He's not an intelligent footballer. He's more on off, you know, off the cuff kind of thing, and it's more instinctive. So there was a period last night where Alisson was going absolutely bloody mad at him. The space had been cleared in the centre because the way of Atalanta was playing in the man to man. What they were trying to do is have a lot of movement, clearing space in the centre of pitch to receive it. And a couple of times they cleared the space for Nunes to go into the hole, and he's in, you know, on the shoulder of the defender, wanting it over the top. And it's like, what are you doing? And I think that's a confidence thing, and it's also I just don't think he gets it the same as the others. I don't think he's a clever footballer.
Sean, interestingly, are there any Liverpool players you'd think, oh, I'd be pleased to see them left out against my team? Like, would you be pleased to see Nunes in the team or out of the team, and players like Jota? That's what I'm referring to from that perspective.
No, because like Diego Jota, I think he's another one of these players that I regularly speak about that always seems to do something against us. Diaz, we come close to signing a couple of years ago. He's a tremendous player. Diaz, Salah's obviously Salah. Even Cody Gakpo, we were linked with Cody Gakpo for a long time as well. I think he's a really good player. I think he's just hasn't quite happened for him at Liverpool, but he's surrounded by quality players. You know, if Nunes plays, I'd still worry about it. I'd still worry about him because he has got quality there. He just, like Dan says, I don't think he makes like the smartest of choices with his types of finish. He always seems to go for the wrong type of finishing situations. I remember watching Kevin Campbell. You'll appreciate Kevin Campbell, James, no doubt.
Not really. He played for Arsenal, but go on.
He was really one of the best finishes I've seen at Everton. He always sort of went for the right option in situations like 90-odd% of the time. And Nunes seems to be the flip side of that to me. Whatever you think he's going to do tends to be the thing he won't do. But he, you know, he's a handful. He's big, strong lad, quirky. He'd bully Tarkowski and Branthwaite if he plays. You know, and Gakpo, like I said, if Gakpo plays, I know Gakpo's got quality, so I don't really worry about their team because they'll all cause us problems, whoever Klopp picks. And then off the bench, you know, sometimes the likes of Nunes and Jota are better coming off the bench.
Yeah,
So
I
from a
understand that.
fantasy, from a
Nunes is definitely better off the bench. He
from a
seems to be
fantasy
better.
point of view, I think there's two games. I'm with I My thinking is what Dan's just said in terms of percentages and stuff. I think Jota will start one. He'll come off the bench in another one. But I don't think that's a reason like not to have him. You know what I mean? I think in a lot of ways it increases his appeal because they score so many late goals, Liverpool.
Have.
Did.
That's the only thing I'd add to that, and it is a very small sample we're talking about recently. And we should remember that I'm a big fan of Jota as well, Dan. But he has just come back from an injury that's kept him out for quite a while. It's kind of a general rule of thumb: don't buy the player that's just come back from injury. He says thinking of putting Trent in. I'd say one I will pick up on with you though, Sean, about part of the reason I asked about is there any particular player you'd be concerned about? Was referencing back what you said about Coleman and Young. And thinking about Luis Diaz playing out there against those two.
Yeah, I mean, Mikhailenko sort of nailed on a fullback, and he's been really good this season. So the weakness is definitely down our right hand side, and I know Coleman's unlikely to play against Forest, could play against Liverpool. Patterson's out for the rest of the season now after the injury he picked up against Chelsea. I mean, there's a chance that James Garner could go back to right back. He's done that
Is Godfrey not fit because he was preferred there for a
previously.
while, wasn't he?
Yeah, Godfrey, this is the weird thing about Dyche. Godfrey suddenly become first choice, and then for no obvious reason was sort of left out. And I thought he was interested. He brought Patterson on when he could have brought Godfrey on. I thought that smacked of a little bit of
Could that maybe be because the game had gone as well, though,
well,
in
I think
fairness?
this is the thing about like the way he's been treating some of the players, and I think it's like he almost. I didn't like the fact he put Patterson on. I'd rather he's been frozen out, but he's a young lad. His confidence has clearly been affected by what's happened under Dyche this season, and I didn't like the fact we were getting battered 4-0, and then at half time, and then if you've got to make changes, you've got to think, well, what's the point of giving this lad minutes in a game where, it's gone anyway? I'd rather he just put Godfrey on. So he puts Patterson on. He was on a hiding to nothing, and he ends up getting injured. And now the lad, potentially he's up against it to make the Euros.
Sounds like it, yeah.
And then that's, that for me is from some point of view. I just thought it was a really poor bit of man management. And there's been a few of them with Dyche lately. So we know Coleman is almost certainly not going to play. He loves Ashley Young. And I can't. Do you know what? It's probably worth buying Diaz, because Dyche probably will play Ashley Young right back.
Nah, he'll play Godfrey at right back, won't he? He'll play Young
I
ahead
would
of him.
I wouldn't honestly, I will not be surprised if he plays Ashley Young, because
Whereas,
he loves him. He's obsessed with getting him in the team somewhere. And I think even Dyche isn't foolish enough to play Ashley Young right wing against Liverpool. So I think Jack Harrison, now he's had a few games rest, I think he'll come back in. So it'll be Ashley Young or Ben Godfrey, but he just loves Ashley Young, honestly. It's just beggars belief.
why's Harrison been out of the team? Form?
Yeah, he just wasn't really. He always works really hard. But it's just nothing's been coming off for him in the final third. But McNeil's been the same. Really, really disappointing. I was made up with the Jack Harrison signing. I thought it would have gone better than it has. He's got three, I think he's got 3 goals with 3 assists, but he's done nothing. He's done nothing lately. Just coincides with us not winning games. McNeil's struggled. He's got personal issues off the field. Not coming off for Jack Harrison. The strikers have both just been garbage.
So
And there's
I shouldn't be
nothing
going
in the middle.
Calvert-Lewin or Beto instead of Cunha then, no?
No. It's like the Liverpool thing. I think Beto will probably start one, and Dom will start one, and then it'll get reversed in the second fixture. I wouldn't be surprised if Beto will probably start against Forest, and then I think Dom will start against Liverpool.
What about from an FPL perspective? What about the defensive guys? But Pickford's going to be semi-popular here for free hitters and those carrying through.
Yeah, well, with fantasy football, anybody that's got a double fixture is some, a possibility, isn't it? Everyone loves the doubles. I mean, that Zabani thing cracked me up the other few weeks ago. just the amount of times I see it happen. I don't get carried away with doubles, and I tend to think there's opportunities there around single game week players, because they just instantly get ruled out by loads of people. So I think, the likes of Bruno Fernandes, potentially will score, outscore a lot of popular double players. They get ruled out because they've only got one game. I just think mad. But Branthwaite is he's trained today, and Dyche has said, as long as there's no reaction,
He'll
then
play.
he's going to be okay. So I'm confident he'll play both games, and he is a we are decent at set pieces, as good as there are in the league. So there's a chance. attacking threat than Zabani, and Zabani returned with me in his double. So I've got Blanthwaite. I'll end up playing him more so for attacking, potential attacking returns. I've got Pickford as well. I'll throw him in goal because I've got Petrovic.
You know who else is bad on defending set pieces? He's not in a Forest.
Yeah, that'll be Dice's game plan. That just like sit back, go out and attack Chelsea away, but at home to Forest, he'll just park the bus and try and nick a set piece goal probably.
Now, under that circumstance, if people have assessed that and want the centre back on free hit, bearing in mind that money is no object here, Tarkowski or Brantford?
Brantford. Well, I haven't checked it, but I think Tarkowski's close to getting a suspension. I'm sure he's got 9 yellow cards.
It's finished now. Sure, doesn't matter.
Has it?
Yeah, it's finished. Right. Doesn't matter. Other than for Chelsea players, for everyone else, it's finished.
That's a real, like, I'd say I'd prefer Brantford, but then I've got him. but Tarkowski, you know, it's that thing about being due, isn't it? You could argue he hasn't scored for a while, so I think it's a flip of a coin.
Okay, one of them or Pickford, if you had to go with one.
I'd probably go for Brantwaite or Tarkowski because I don't see us keeping a clean sheet in either game.
Okay, you have to make some saves though potentially as well, right?
Yeah, but again, even that, we're quite good at blocking stuff. So yeah, I think I'd go with Brantwaite or Tarkowski. And you know, there's an attacking threat there, an attacking return across the two games.
I can't believe I got that much out of you. I just thought you were going to start off by saying, are you stupid? That's where I thought this was going to go at the start. Dan, any Everton for you on free hit?
I was thinking about Pickford, but Sean's put me right off it now, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think under my sense, it would only be Pickford, I think, under consideration. But it feels conflicting anyway. If I end up going with two Liverpool offensive, I think for me, Dan, it's Salah's going in and he's getting the armband. And then it's two from Trent, Van Dijk and Diaz. I had decided it was going to be Trent and Van Dijk. I'm not sure now. I actually think Godfrey playing will be better for you, by the way, Sean, in terms of that particular matchup, if Diaz plays out that side. And your chance are you'll get Hudson-Odoi or Alanga on Sunday as well. I actually think that's better.
Godfrey is terrible. They're all terrible. We've got four of the worst right-backs that you could have in the league.
There's a fourth. Who's a fourth?
Well, we've got Patterson, haven't we? Patterson, we've got Young.
Can't name Patterson twice.
Patterson, Young, Godfrey, Coleman.
Oh, Patterson. Yeah, well, okay, yeah. All right, yeah, you have got four, yeah.
And they're all crap. They're all terrible. So Diaz nearly, that's what I mean. I'd like, Diaz is probably the midfielder you want, or Jota, just like even or, because we'll probably get pumped. Liverpool will find their finishing touch against them.
Oh, well, Liverpool scored one goal in three games. That was a penalty.
Maybe that's what I mean. So the due, aren't they? The due, just Liverpool are too good going forward to keep failing to score goals. They'll we are horrendous at Goodison Park, and the amount of teams I've seen race away towards the park end and score goals against us late on, and They're the best in the league at it, so don't underestimate. Honestly, don't think it's going to be a tight derby game. There's every chance Liverpool score 3 or 4.
Okay, that lock the Salah captain in. One more question for you, Dan. For those not on free hit and buying this week, and one of the big debates is buying Eze or Diaz. Bearing in mind it's for 34 and possibly beyond. Do you have a preference if it's to carry longer between the two?
I'll be honest, I'm not sure what Palace fixtures are like.
West Ham at home and Newcastle at home.
After the double?
After the double, sorry. Fulham away, Manchester United at home, Wolves away, Villa at home.
Not great, is it?
I don't know, it's got Man United in there, mate.
I don't know. I like Eze, but he's one of them who plays three and then injured for four and then plays two and injured for two, and you can't rely on him, can you? Whereas Diaz is, touch wood, he's generally fit.
Ah, yeah, but if Eze does stay fit, you know he's going to start pretty much. It's the flip of that.
But Lucho's is if anyone, you know, out of them front ones other than Salah does play to, it's likely to be him because he has got ridiculous kind of stamina and endurance. He just doesn't seem to, considering, you know, he's a skinny little thing. He's made of strong stuff.
Gents, thank you both so much. Let's do predictions before we finish. Sean, Forest at home.
One one.
Same as me. Dan, Fulham away.
Maybe 2-1 Liverpool might squeak it.
He said 1-1 first. 1-1 would be the same as me as well. And the Merseyside derby, Sean.
Oh, fucking hell.
As if you know I'm not going to ask you.
No, I don't. Oh, God. I think it'll probably be about 3-0 to Liverpool.
Dan.
Like Sean, I hadn't actually thought, I know you're going to ask it, but I hadn't actually thought about it. I think it'll either be nil-nil or 3 or 4 nil to Liverpool.
Okay. Somewhere in the middle. I think you'll win it narrowly, Dan. I've said during the week, I've got an inkling you won't win both of these two games, or at least all three if you include the West Ham away. That fixture run of four away games, Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday lunchtime, whomever you're playing, is pretty rough. If you win them all, fair dues to you, mate. Brilliant stuff. Thank you, guys. Sean, anything to plug before we finish?
No, just I'm on X at spirit underscore blues.
And a reminder that the Premier League is corrupt. And Dan, anything to plug from yourself?
No, just like Sean on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, FPL underscore local lord. I'm going to be promoting my league for next season shortly, so keep a lookout if you're into that.
Good stuff. And only joking, in case someone wants to offer me a job, the Premier League is not corrupt. Sean, Dan, thank you both very much. Good luck for the weekend and the rest of the season and in the Merseyside derby. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.